Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, coming at you live from Flower Farmer Forum Conference. So I have, everyone be really loud. There's so many people here. Well, there's like 30 people here, okay? So today, the main other voice on the mic is going to be Brianna from Back 40 Flower Farm. So can you introduce yourself?
Sure. Well, hello. I know I met many of you last year, and the round tables are great, so thanks for doing that. That's always fun. So I'm Brianna. I am in Long Prairie, which is about an hour north of here. I've been growing since 2020, but I haven't really taken it seriously since about 2022, so about 3 years of growing. This past season was my first year growing in our 30 by 96 high tunnel. And so I have a lot of, mistakes made, but also good. And I've also grown a lot in low tunnels before I had the high tunnel. So yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So my goal for this is, again, kind of, let's all talk about, it's okay to talk about your mistakes with growing a lot of these things so that we as a group don't all keep making them over and over again. Because one of the most frustrating things for me, I said it earlier today, when you realize, oh, I should have done this. But the things that we should have done, what are we going to do next time? But it takes an entire year or sometimes 2 years to actually realize what you would have done. And some of these mistakes can be incredibly expensive. And some of these mistakes are, you know, oh no, now what could I have grown in that space instead? And then it's just really easy to get down because especially in the first few years of business, there's not a lot of profit margin. There's not a lot of room for error, you know, and especially a lot of these flowers, let's face it, this is the expensive stuff. The heat loving annuals are cheap to grow because they're not, you know, it's not that big of a deal. The direct seed, to direct sow some sunflowers or zinnias or something, but a lot of these flowers, you know, they are the ones that get a little bit more of a premium. They are the ones that give a little more of a wow factor. But we're in zone 4B right now where we're located. My farm is 5 miles away. I think it's 6.1 actually. And so, you know, what grows here, what does here well? I actually just got the Equip funding for a high tunnel that I'll be putting up this year. And I'm actually putting up, I'm not doing the same exact one as you. I'm doing the same one as my FSA guy that they have a strawberry farm and some other stuff. But mine's going to be 34 by 96. And I'm going to have double layer of plastic with the fan in between to keep it inflated at all times. And then I'm going to get two heaters with mine as a backup heater. And so we'll have to get electricity to it. And Flower Farmer husband's going to have to dig another permanent hydrant. It's fine. Just borrow an excavator on a weekend. You can do it. And then, you know, we'll trench electricity to it. But it's going to have a backup heater. So I'm really excited because I will be able to keep that, you know, just so that it kicks in. You know, during the day, during the summer, it gets really warm in there. But then it can kick in when it gets, you know, above or below a certain temperature. So I can make sure that those ranunculus are not going to freeze. And so I'm really excited to push the envelope on some of those things. But I'm finally getting to the point where I'm doing that. And I feel like I'm pretty established as a flower farmer. And so I think the majority of people in this room are, you know, the high tunnels or low tunnels or whatever it might be. And so I just want to kind of walk through and, you know, we're going to talk about, I have a whole list of different kinds of flowers, but there's so many different ways of growing. Ultimately, we just want to extend our growing season. I would love to have flowers by, if possible, you know, first week of April, early, you know, mid-March would be great. I don't know that that's going to happen, but trying to get, you know, flowers longer because that way we're not having our season so short. So high tunnels, heated, unheated, low tunnels, temporary raised beds. If we plant them in the fall, if we plant them in the spring, what the cooler storage times are. And just kind of weigh in on any of those topics. And we're just going to kind of go down the line of anything that we have planted cool hardy and if you have experience with this. So Who in this room anticipates that they will have something, either failures to learn from, warnings, we'll say fair warning, like don't do this, or hey, this worked for me. So just so that Abby can see like who's probably going to be raising their hand and inputting. And that's not to say that the rest of you aren't experts or whatever. It's just that way she can know. So, all right, Brianna, I'm going to just kind of interview you on if you have thoughts on any of these.
Okay. But
have you done any Bells of Ireland?
Yes. This past year, I tried to do it myself by growing the seed, and it was a little bit of a failure. I kind of had a big mistake on Mother's Day where a lot of my seedlings fried. So a lot of my Bells of Ireland were fried in that, so I didn't have that much this past year. So with that being said, the year prior, I had a bunch, and I did not have my high tunnel then. So I hope that some of this experience, like, you don't need to have a high tunnel to grow a lot of this stuff, although it helps tremendously, but I really like Bells of Ireland, actually. So I know Megan, the last speaker, and the florist shop that they have, I only live a few miles from it, and they loved Bells of Ireland, and I sold some of them. They loved it. But anyway, it is tricky to start from seed. I'm wondering if you guys start it from seed or if you buy plugs. Okay, I'll need to know your tricks, because I have started to buy from Farmer Bailey, just time and trying to figure out. There's just too many varieties to know all the tips and tricks for everything. But with Bells of Ireland, I've noticed I have to plant it rather early, like middle of March, because once it gets hot in June, it turns color and it starts frying. And I also want it to have the long stem length. I've noticed when it gets hot, it is really short.
Somehow in 2021, so I had my first farm stand in 2020, and it really was just kind of a garden. We were making jokes about, you know, our first season, and I mean, I bought some like dwarf zinnias from a greenhouse, and it was terrible. But then I probably started 40 seed trays of 40 different kinds of flowers that first time that I'm trying it, right? Like, I'm going to do everything. And I bought all these grow lights and whatever. I did Bells of Ireland from seed, and I had an awesome germination rate, and they did great. You know, looking back now, I'm like, how did I do that? Apparently that's hard, and I don't know what I did. I mean, I remember soaking them in a paper towel in the fridge, maybe. Mm-hmm. I had them in the seeds in the freezer, and then I did the paper towel. And then I put them in trays, and I started them in trays. And then, yeah, I didn't transplant them until probably May 15th. And so guess what? I had a lot of leaves that turned brown, and they were terrible. And, you know, I got maybe 3 bells of the whole 50 that I planted. So, yes, if I do them again, I will definitely plant them in the high tunnel. But you said you had them, like, in a low tunnel, or what did you do?
Yeah.
Did you mulch them?
Yeah, so before I had the high tunnel, I do low tunnels with just the 10-foot conduit, and then it makes a 4-foot bed. And I had 100-row tunnel, and I had a couple of them. So that's how I grew my Bells of Ireland, my Ranunculus, some cress. I'm trying to think what else, because it's been a few years, but that's how I did it until I had the high tunnel. And that seemed to have worked really well. I've tried it without the high tunnel as well. It just doesn't grow as well. I mean, you'll have some luck, but my stems were shorter, or it just didn't work in our area.
Does anyone have anything to add on Bells of Ireland? Any tips, tricks? Okay, perfect.
I am in the Twin Cities right by St. Paul. I grew them the best last year. I find pretty much for all the cold hardy annuals, the sooner you can get them in the ground, the better. And last year was a great year because we had such a mild winter. I got most of my cold hardy annuals in the ground like April 1st or even sooner. I planted Ranunculus March 1st. But I did Bells with nothing, no low tunnels or anything. My Ranunculus, I did low tunnels, but they were the best ever. Nice. And I think it was just because I got them in the ground as soon as possible, and the weather was favorable. But, yeah, I got great stem length, and that was just in a normal raised bed, nothing special. I'm in zone 5B.
Do you have fabric, or do you mulch or anything?
No, it was just in a raised bed, just... Okay. Planted them out April 1st, and it went good. The year before, I think they were really short, but that I didn't plant them out as early. So I'd say the biggest thing for me for success with cold hardy annuals is getting them in the ground as soon as possible. Even if that means covering them with frost cloth occasionally, it's worth it. I feel like that's as close as we can get to fall sowing here in our area. I think I used them for my June subscriptions, and then so I got one good long one for that first cut, and then some smaller side shoots maybe, so beginning of June was like the good big one, and then some side shoots maybe at the end of June that if you're using like your, like a jar, you can, you know, kind of tuck them down low, but they weren't, they didn't have great stem length for that second side shoots.
I'm actually thinking that, I mean, we could go through these things one by one, but maybe let's go more topic by topic. Like, what have you direct sown in the fall? Or, you know, anything like that? Does that maybe seem to work a little bit easier? I don't know. I just think that if we go by these one by one, it might get repetitive. Like, oh, I plant them early in the spring. Like, well, yeah, okay. I guess we all do. So I guess, yeah, what things have you planted in the fall? Successfully or unsuccessfully.
Well, my goal on my farm is to have blooms from the first week of April to the last week of October, and to have a full flush of blooms, not just lingering in April and lingering in October. So my goal is to have like full flush of flowers in the spring and in the fall as my focus. And then summer, I mean, that kind of takes care of it for itself. We can have plenty of flowers in the summer. So in the fall, I really focus on tulips. Obviously, that's a big one for me to have those April flowers, especially in the high tunnel. I can get them the first week of April. Otherwise, if they're outside in the field, I do try and cover them with a low tunnel. And then I have some that don't have anything. So I'll get like 6 to 7 weeks of tulips with that. Another one, I wouldn't consider it a cool annual, but another big one for me is actually daffodils, because those come in right after the tulips do and they blend well. So I'll have tulips and daffodils in April. And then for fall planting.
Do you know what variety of daffodils
I have?
You like
have? 10 different ones. I know Bridal Crown is one. There's another one called Lion something. I will have to look that up off the top of my head. I did make the mistake of just doing the yellow trumpet ones. Don't grow those. No, it is not. I do have double layer inflated, and I will have to say a few times this fall when it got really cold, we have like a Nipco heater that we plugged in, but that wasn't for my flowers, that was for my husband's tomatoes, so it had nothing to do with the flowers, but we just put in a space heater if we need it, so it's not heated.
And nice. If you hear some background music, the room next to us is popping a balloon art after a baby shower. Okay, anyway.
Sound effects. But as far as fall planting, I do a lot of my cover crop in the fall, and so I don't do a whole lot of fall planting unless it's in my high tunnel. So this past fall, I did plant a lot of Canterbury bells or campanula. I did some chantilly and Madame Butterfly snapdragons. I have some feverfew. I'm trying to think what else I have in there.
And that's all in the high
tunnel.
That's
just all in the high tunnel.
And then, so you planted, so like you fall planted snapdragons.
Yes.
So I think most people are interested in that. How did you mulch them? What did you do? That is so distracting.
Yeah. So with fall planting, you have to remember like the seedlings have to be like 4 to 6 weeks old. So if you want to start seed, you have to do that like in August or September. And then I fall planted like the end of October, but I just blot in Farmer Bailey plugs just because time, and that's just easier for me on our farm. Yeah, so I have a row, and my rows are 90 feet long by 30 inches, I think, roughly. So I have a row of snapdragons and a row of Canterbury bells, a row of Icelandic poppies were the other ones. And what I, so far, I think it'll work out, except my chickens got in there, so that's not due to bad growing, but my chickens kind of messed up my snapdragons a little bit. But you water them in really well until it freezes about like Thanksgiving-ish time, and then I haven't watered them since. Like, they're just kind of in a holding period, and I have some wire hoops in there with some one layer of frost cloth, and this is also under my high tunnel, so it has like triple protection under there.
And is your high tunnel two layers?
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay.
And then, yeah, I haven't watered. I go in there and peek every once in a while, and things are looking okay. It looks dry, but I mean, it's just holding. They don't need water right now. And then once it starts to warm up in like March, I mean, I just have to keep an eye on it because this is my first year fall planting in there. But my research and all the things that I've tried to figure out, then I'll just start watering in early spring. We'll see what happens.
So I think a lot of you probably heard the episode on the podcast when I overwintered ranunculus last year. I didn't do it this year. It just, honestly, I knew that we were going to probably be getting another new high tunnel, and it just, like, you know, it was maybe worth it, but the 3 weeks earlier that I got the ranunculus, I still didn't have them by Mother's Day. And so then I'm like, well, if I'm not going to have them, you know, the 3 weeks, and yeah, 3 weeks can make a big difference, but it also, I had saved the corms and decided to like break them apart so I could have more and multiply without realizing that these are like tiny corms. So I got one like 6-inch flower off of a lot of them. So it was, is it a success? Yes, I successfully overwintered ranunculus in Minnesota with one zone of plastic. And then I had frost cloth on top of them. And then I had a low tunnel of plastic on top of that. So I had frost cloth, low tunnels of plastic, and it got, I mean, last year was the mildest winter on record. However, it got below zero for a good week, and they were fine. I think as long as the ground didn't freeze, mm-hmm. they were fine. So I definitely will try it again, probably even in my unheated high tunnel. So I have two high tunnels right now that are 16 by 50, and then we'll be getting one this spring for planting in the fall. That is, again, it's going to have two heaters on it. It's either the 32 or 34 by 96. I haven't decided what I'm going to put in that yet. But one of the things I do want to put in that one is eucalyptus, because I want to get those established in there. And that makes sense to me to have like even a half a row of eucalyptus or something. But I am trying to overwinter eucalyptus right now in my unheated high tunnel. I am not optimistic. I have not checked on it in a couple weeks because there's no point. I don't want to know. But I do think as long as the ground doesn't freeze, I think they might be okay. I don't know. So I put a bunch of straw around them, laid frost cloth on top of it. I cut them down maybe 6 inches and have not opened the door in like a month. And I had watered them really good up until like November, and I haven't watered them since. I don't know.
I'm doing the same exact thing. I don't know what variety you have. I don't even know what variety I have, but that's pretty much the same thing. I don't know if any of you guys follow Clara Joyce in Illinois. He's zone 5, but he overwinters his eucalyptus, and his goes to the ceiling of his high tunnel. And it's second year or third year, something like that. So I'm hopeful, but we'll see. You don't know until you try.
Yeah. I think I'll definitely be able to do it. Like, that's something that it's worth it to put it in the heat. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where it's like, what high tunnel? Which one do we put it in? It's like, I'm being really picky about what's going to go in this heated high tunnel that I'm getting with the backup heater and the two heaters or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, and we can talk about the equip a little bit later if anyone wants to. But has anyone in here overwintered eucalyptus successfully or tried? Okay, trying right now. So that's the thing. Like, we're all just
all in it
so
together.
This time next year, we'll all four be like, eh. So I did learn one lesson, and you know, this is supposed to be a cold flowers talk, but now it's going to turn into a eucalyptus talk. But that's fine, it's my podcast, I get to talk about what I want to talk about. So I did try to transplant some of the eucalyptus last year. I thought I was going to be so smart. I literally took 100 pots and put potting soil in them, and I transplanted my eucalyptus back into it. I'm like, and as long as we just water them and we keep it, whatever. They do not like to be transplanted. They do not like to be dug up. However, this year when I got my plugs, I immediately planted like a dozen of them into a 1 gallon pot. And they're still alive, so they're still doing well. And I've been cutting them back. And so next year, there'll be 2-year-old plants that'll just, you know, they'll be in pods. But, you know, even if I put those dozen plants into my high tunnel, they're 3-year-old eucalyptus plants. And hopefully then, I don't know if they'll transplant well then from the pot, but I think if I have a big enough versus a small new seedling. But I'm hopeful on that, to at least have those more established. And that might be plenty. That might be plenty of what I need. Like, it's not enough for subscriptions and stuff, but it's enough to just constantly pick a few stems here and there for weddings or whatever I might need. And maybe that's all I need.
Right. Well, I know that this is cool flowers, which is mostly annuals, but I want to put a spotlight on perennials quick, because if it wasn't for my perennials, I wouldn't be able to have early flowers, really. And like I said, the daffodils are important, but I also have peonies, of course. I have a list here because I knew I would forget which ones I wanted to talk about, but I was wondering if anyone here has hellebores. Hellebores? You do. Do you like them? I haven't had them yet. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
So on the podcast, the person said that hopefully they'll be the first year they bloom.
I would love to get hellebores, but they're an investment, so I haven't had that yet. But daffodils, lilacs, peonies. I have a resource for mock orange, but I want to grow more. And just like allium, astilbe, those all bloom like the same time peonies do. And I know that sometimes it's hard to find things that go well with peonies. So I really like those type of perennials that will bloom early for me. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but
yeah, I did a tray of I think I did four trays, so 100 plants of blue thistle last year from Farmer Bailey, and I planted them in I had one more row with my peonies. And so last year they bloomed in September because I planted them in May. But my hope is that this year, I know they're not here, but they were here last year, the twins from Blooming Creek, and they said that their blue thistle typically blooms in June. And so that way, so I planted that, and then I planted a bunch of Veronica too. Mm. It bloomed pretty rough the first year, it looks like.
But pretty short.
Yeah, but hopefully next year. So has anyone had experience with either blue thistle or Veronica? Does anyone grow that in their perennials? Mm. Yeah. And when does it typically bloom for you, your established plants?
This will be our third year, first year, really rough. They were this
rough,
tall.
Rough is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, I wanted to cut them down. But second year, they were a lot better, not usable. Third year, they were really nice.
All right, I got two more years.
That gives me hope online.
That makes me feel really good because next year I'll be what am I doing wrong? It's year two. Nope, he said. Third year. So I'm saying Veronica and then I'm, yep.
Fine window.
Okay. So yeah, so it's a fine window. From the time it's the deeper color until it seeds. How long do you think that time period is? Okay, so a 3-week picking window. Okay, yeah, I typically aim for things with a wide picking window. I don't like to be told what to do, when to pick.
Okay, I have a question comment about starting seeds for cold hardy annuals and see if we're all in agreement. So every year when I go to start them, I feel like I'm refiguring out when to start these cold hardy annuals. And the seed packets are I feel like, why don't they just say 4 to 6 weeks before planting out date? Because it always says before the last frost. But for us, I'm assuming we would all rather get them out April 1st versus May 1st. So are we all in consensus that we count back from April 1st instead of May 1st?
Yeah. Yes. You're on the right track.
So planting date, not last frost date. Right. Yes.
Yeah. So if you want to plant, I plant in the high tunnel second week of March. Mm. I wanted to start those seeds last week or the week prior.
Already. Okay.
Yeah.
I've got work to do.
To plant them outside, then I have more room. And it gives you a good stagger, too. So I'd be starting those now. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
Well, I don't know if you guys want to go through any specific flowers, but I mostly spring plant. You can direct sow. I know that you had some experience with your wildflower patch, and that was all planted early, right?
Yeah. Yeah. June was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was so pretty.
So this spring, we didn't have much for snow, and I could actually work my outside soil. What was it? I think it was the first week of March. I think, yeah. And so I was out there with a rake, just the first inch of soil, and I just scattered a bunch of seed. I had Nigella, Orlea, Rubeckia, Calendula. I can't remember all of them, but just a bunch of things, and most of them.
I just want to note that I've just learned how to pronounce a lot of things. Oh. I'm like, you mean Calendula?
Oh, I might be saying it wrong, too.
I have no idea. I'm like, oh. Yeah, that's how you say it. I'm the one with the podcast.
No, but you can do it and just scatter a bunch of seed and have a wildflower patch. Or I do fabric on my outside field. So I did 6x6 spacing on my fabric and I just took 3 seeds per hole and put it in there. And I had blooms in May and June from that. So if you're able to get out in your fields early, that's a great way to direct sow. I know a lot of times we have snow on the ground and it's kind of maybe too late right now, but in the fall, if there's a spot that I'm not cover cropping, I'll lay down a tarp, and then in the spring I'll pull that tarp up and so the snow's off of it, and a lot of times it is workable, or I put compost on top and then you can direct sow a lot of cool season flowers that way.
Yeah, there was one year that I think it was the year that we were living in the camper. I just did not get to, we were growing in 3 different spaces, and that was before. So now I have my U-pick rows. There's 19 of them with grass in between them. But before we had that really set up, it was just a 50x50 garden. So we had that spot and then my old vegetable garden. That's going to be a parking lot now. But that, I didn't get around to cleaning up in the fall. I just left the fabric down there. It was after Davy was born and we just were we'll just leave it and we'll add some compost in the spring. And so actually, that warm landscape fabric, it really just kept the ground warm. And then I ended up, we had always done a lot of straight manure on there from the feedlot. And so I was probably should add some compost, but meh, I don't know, it's probably better. It's probably fine. And so I just left the fabric on there, like lazy flower farming. And I just left the fabric on there. I just chopped off the dead stuff that I had not cleaned up in the fall. And I plopped like Nigella and Orlaia and Bupleurum in there, like probably April 15th. And that was amazing. That was, I just had like all these and they grew and they did fine. And I don't know. I think that I would love to experiment with like fall planting outside like that and just like the seeds, as long as it's not warm enough to germinate when you do it. So does anyone do that? Does anyone direct seed in the fall knowing that it won't germinate until the spring? My worry with it is that if it's too wet and then the seeds just rot, I mean, I look at how much Bupleurum and how much other stuff self-seeds. I'm like, well, what's the difference? I don't know.
Yeah, if there's a way to buy bulk seed, like, I try not to be wasteful, but at the same time, I like to experiment. So that's something I think I'll try this fall just to see. The only thing that I've really done in the fall is Rudbeckia. I mean, I feel like that comes back pretty easily. And some lemon balm. And that's all direct seed, too. Most of the stuff that I plant, first cool flowers, early spring fall flowers, I either direct seed or I buy in plugs because I just don't have the time and the bandwidth to think 6 weeks ahead of time before I have to plant it. I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 6 weeks. Like, so I either direct seed or buy in plugs usually. I get most of my plugs from Farmer Bailey, and they usually have their sale in like July and October or something like that. So you have to just be on the ball of when they have their stuff available and what you want to plant. But
you can go on there right now, though.
Yeah, you can look, but they don't always have it.
Yeah,
for sale. Yeah. For shipping. Or yeah, you have to figure out what your ship date or ship week is. Mm-hmm. So I have most of my plugs for the high tunnel coming the second week of March. And so like the second and third week of March, I try and get them in there as soon as I can.
Another one I want to talk about is Lysianthus. Mm-hmm. So I'm planning on, especially when I'll have, you know, I'm saying heated, but, you know, non-frozen, guaranteed non-frozen high tunnel. That's what we're going to call it. Because we're not going to keep it that warm, obviously. In fact, I think the heater will be off the majority of the time because during the day it'll, you know, be warm in there. But I'm curious, like, what is the earliest you've ever planted Lysianthus? Mm-hmm. I was looking through yesterday and, you know, Lisa Mason Ziegler, you know, she'll plant it in the fall with some straw and low tunnels. And considering once I have this new space, do I just a tray, plant them in January, plant them in February, plant them in March, like just keep succession them or, you know, depending on the varieties. But I don't know, what's the earliest that you've put them in?
Yeah, so for early Lysianthus, I try to get the group one varieties that will bloom earlier for me. And this past year, I planted them the second week of March in my high tunnel. And I did a different type of technique than I see around here. It's actually how they grow them in Japan. I don't know how I stumbled upon a YouTube video, but I did. They grow them 2 inches apart. And then they have like two, I'm trying to explain this so that people listening to the podcast will understand it too, but they have like 2 rows of 2 inches apart, and then they have like 6 inches, and then 2 rows of 2 inches apart. So they have kind of some channels, and I grew them that way, and that worked really well. I could fit 4 trays in like a quarter of a bed, so like in 25 feet. And that worked really well for me. And I actually planted some group two varieties too, and they did fine. And then I later successioned the group three varieties. So I had blooms from July to October for Lizzie's. Yep. Yep, I did.
Yep. So the question was irrigation in the channels.
In and the then it channels
was on,
of it.
The YouTube was on Farmer Bailey.
I think so, yeah. I know that Farmer Bailey has some info. Yeah, I think that's where it was.
So this was a conversation that we had last night a little bit, the few of us that went out to supper. But are you ever going to try to put peonies in a high tunnel or a low tunnel? Who has tried that?
Anybody? I've tried putting a low tunnel over my peonies. I didn't plant any peonies in my high tunnel, although I've thought about it, but I don't think I'm going to do that. But I have done the one layer of plastic with the low tunnels over my peonies, and they did come about a week sooner than my other outside ones. I didn't do it this past year because I ran out of time, but I did it 2 years previous, so I'm going to try and do it again this spring just to have those earlier blooms. It was about a week.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, I'm looking at my schedule. So I have right now, I just was adding it up. I think I have about $40,000 worth of weddings in June already this year, but a lot of peonies. But I think I've had hardly any inquiries into May. So I've thought about, like, what if I put some in the high tunnel? And I'm like, well, do I really need... I mean, it'd be nice to have some peonies if I knew that they could be in time for Mother's Day. If I knew that. But watch, they come May 15th, and now I have May 15th through June 1st, where I don't really need peonies, and now I did all this work to make and took all this space just to have them sit in my cooler. Like, they either take space in my cooler or take space, you know, there, but at least stagger out the work. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the other thing. And that's something that, you know, with my tulips, I've got, I think, 7,000 of them inside the high tunnel. And one thing that I learned last year, because I planted some in the high tunnel and some outside, and I just kind of thought I'd stagger the colors, and again, lessons learned, plant the earliest varieties inside the high tunnel. Mm-hmm. Because the late, I had room for like 500 more, because I now try to buy in quantities of, in increments of like 2,000, like it versus, you know, whatever, because it's just easier for me to like recipe plan and math, and like that's the quantity that I'm doing. And so I had 500 of one random color, and so I had just enough room for that in the high tunnel without really thinking about it. Well, it was Black Parrot, which they are the latest blooming tulip, I think, pretty much that you can get. And they just fried. They didn't even open. It was so hot in the high tunnel. I freaked out. I thought I had tulip in blood, you know, just tulip fire and whatever. And so I called my ball seed rep, and she's talking to Dave Dowling, and he's like, no, you just didn't water them. It got hot in there. I'm like, okay, that's really embarrassing. But here I thought, like, now I'm going to have to move my high, Brent's going to have to move my high tunnels. But no, so I've learned that put the early blooming tulips inside of that high tunnel for sure.
My favorite earliest blooming tulip is Exotic Emperor. It's just a simple white one, but that's always my first one to bloom, whether it's outside or in the high tunnel. But last year, my first bloom was April 5th, so, and that was the Exotic Emperor variety. I can't remember the other earlier ones, but I like that variety.
Yeah, and I think staggering them, I think I will try to put a couple thousand in my heated high tunnel, even just like in temporary raised beds on the end. I mean, I could maybe even have them late in March, maybe, depending, but if it gets cool enough in there. But I think it should, we'll see, but I'm going to try that. I'll probably start with like 1,000, you know, only 1,000, but start with that. And then I would probably still do completely fill the one high tunnel with the temporary raised beds, and then the 16 by 50 high tunnel, that it's an unheated tunnel. And then outside, we actually made like a 60-foot temporary raised bed outside. And then we put, you know, we put them in order of earliest to latest blooming. We put rebar in them, and then we'll put piping over them and put a low tunnel on like half of it is our plan this year. But honestly, with tulips, it's just, it's a staggering game. So now hopefully I can have four different flushes of tulips at a time. It's so much work if they're all blooming at once. Right. I try to look at early, late, middle, but they substitute is the problem. Like, I can have it perfectly planned, and then my rep calls me, we don't have this, but we have this. I'm like, okay. I think this year will be better, but last year, and I get, my tulips come from Ball, but I mean, last year I got 50% of what I originally ordered, and it felt like they were 80% of my tulips were yellow, which was okay, but
yeah. You said that in your high tunnel you had tulips blooming April 5th. In comparison to when do your low tunnel tulips start blooming?
Yeah, so my outside ones, I have it written down somewhere, but my outside ones don't come until May, like the first week of May-ish if I have them covered. And then if they're just outside, no cover, like middle of May. So I'm zone 4A.
Yeah, it doesn't fail. My tulips outside that have no covering on them, they bloom the Monday after Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's exactly what
that's happened. When they bloom on their own. If I don't do anything, that's when they bloom. Right when you don't need them.
Yeah.
Although this year they were early because it was a warm spring. Yeah. Most of my outside ones were bloomed. But.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I didn't have the high tunnel. I didn't use low tunnels. I had three varieties all come the day after Mother's Day.
And I bought a lot of them from you.
Yeah.
Anna's like, do you need some tulips? I'm like, oh, sure. My customers are so excited. We'll do it. But yeah, it was, yeah. Because, and that's the problem, like, unless, for me at least, it's really easy to sell tulips the week of Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy to do, but it's, you got to get them mostly done. But whereas, I do hope to leave some of them, and if they're blooming that week of Mother's Day, that's fine, because I have the weekend of June 1st, or May 30th, I think is a, June 1st must be a Saturday. I think. I don't know. I've got like 3 wildflower weddings that weekend and the next weekend. So I'm hoping, you know, I'll be able to hold a lot of those tulips over and anything bright there. So anemone. Did you plant those?
This will be my first year with anemone. I wanted to get down ridiculous first before I did anemone. So I don't have a whole lot of experience on those.
So I planted 250 of them last year. I'm going to think my high tunnel, it had 3 rows in it, 50-foot rows. And 1.5 rows were the overwintered ranunculus. And then 1.75 rows I did new ranunculus. And I soaked them in water and then I just put them in the dirt straight in the high tunnel. I didn't pre-sprout them. This year I am pre-sprouting them because it's cold. Whereas last year it was so warm that the soil was fine anyway. So I just stuck them in there. So now I will have to manually touch them twice, which I don't enjoy. But same thing with the anemone. I just soaked them and then stuck them in the ground. And I thought I had killed them because the ranunculus were all coming up for like 3 or 4 weeks before the anemone even like broke out of the ground. And I was like, well, I wonder what I did. Like, I should have, maybe they needed warmer temps or something. And again, my high tunnel is completely unheated, but so I was wondering what I did. And so finally I went to go just dig them up and they were alive. They were just coming up. And so I just left them. I did only the white color and I had, you know, a couple weddings in June and it was just kind of experimental. I definitely think that I need to spray them with fertilizer. They were a little bit shorter, but has anyone in here grow anemones? Do you find that they're longer stemmed or did they?
I found the longer stems come with more picks. So the short stems are first and you just keep picking and they stretch.
Got it.
But I pre-sprout them with my ranunculus February 1st to plant out March 1st in an unheated high tunnel with frost cloth over top.
Okay.
For May blooms.
That's what I was wondering. Do they bloom for you the same time ranunculus do?
Yeah, and then how long have you had them blooming?
Depends on the summer. Last summer was fairly cool, like a lot of rain in June. So I had them up until first part of July. The year before that, we had a really hot June and they fried. They weren't as nice. So if you can keep them cool, ideally, I like to have them, both ranunculus and anemones, May through June, end of June.
Yep, and that's my goal too, is to have them a little bit earlier.
Does anyone have experience with planting tulips in crates or indoor growing? Did it go well for you then?
Yeah.
You had blooms?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I've been dabbling in that. I have like one tray going right now, but it didn't work. So now I'm like, okay, what did I do wrong? But I'm wondering if that is a way to get earlier tulips too. So
I did some last winter in crates with soil. Yeah. And like I had them in the cooler until I think we wanted them for Easter.
Yeah.
So, and we pull them out and just grew them inside, you know, and they need to be watered in your cooler. And
sure.
I didn't, like, I watered them in good. I think I watered them, like, once a month. But they were, like, sad and not happy.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
half of them maybe bloomed and the other half were, like, you sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes me feel better.
We both tried. I'm like, I just lost 3,000 tulips. Yeah. Like, I planted a lot in crates.
I ran out of bed space. So I'm like, oh, I'll do crates. And then there goes 1,000 bulbs because I didn't water them.
I did 2 crates this year. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Yeah.
I also haven't watered them. So.
You said that you have crates sitting right outside of your high tunnel right now.
Yes.
That you're going to move in eventually.
Yes.
So what's your plan?
Because they get snow on them.
Right.
So they're just sitting out like the outside raised beds are.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that once I bring them out, it'll wake them up sooner. I haven't tried this yet, so it'll be an experience. But that's my hope. We'll see. But since they're getting the outside snow, I'm hoping that I'll have better luck.
Okay. So that's what I'm trying to. Okay. I'm hoping to bring them into our greenhouse early. So I was just curious what your plan
is too. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I know that they need like 12 to 16 weeks of cold, right? So I'm thinking like middle of May or middle of April, I'll bring them in. So I'll have tulips blooming already in the high tunnel, but my outside ones won't be yet. So I'm going to bring them in and compare when it blooms compared to the outside ones.
I also put them in crates last year, but I put the bulbs in the fridge because I didn't have my farm yet. And then in March, I planted them out because it was a really nice spring and they were great. So maybe, I don't know.
So did they bloom for you, like, in May? Okay. So you just...
I was shocked. I was like, oh, yay. Oh. It worked. I had them in my fridge, like, all winter.
So she chilled them. Okay.
Some of them I had to toss because they just got gross.
Sure.
But that worked because then they didn't get too soggy. I don't know.
No, I just have a plug. I'm doing hydroponic tulips and soil crates because I have a greenhouse business and May is just crazy. So I want tulips earlier, like March, April, and then early May. And I highly recommend the tulip workshop. I invested. It's fabulous. It teaches you everything. It's an investment, but it's money well worth it. So my hydroponic trays, everything looks really great, except for one vole that snuck in somewhere and did a little bit of damage, but we took care of him and everything's fine.
Awesome.
The only other flower that I want to talk about is feverfew. So that is something that my brides love it. People love it. Like, I want more feverfew. I had plugs last year. Someone messaged me and they're like, hey, I'm going to be driving through St. Joe. I only needed half a tray. Would you be interested in the other half? And I don't even know who it was. Maybe it was someone in this room, but I was like, oh, sure. Like, I can't remember who it was. And I ended up being gone. So I sent Brent to meet someone and, you know, had them give him cash. And so someone gave me half a tray, but I get a lot of DMs on social media. So I'm sorry that I can't remember who it was, but so I transplanted them out and they were okay. I mean, they bloomed in by the time I got them, you know, it was May 15th by the time I planted them. But I had in August, I think I had some feverfew, but I want to plant more of it, whether it's direct seed. But I cut the first flush and then I just let it be because where I have it at, I'm hoping that it went to seed the second time. And then I'm just hoping it comes back this spring. But cause that's what a lot of people told me is that it spreads like crazy, but it's not a perennial, right? Or is it?
It can overwinter here, yeah.
Okay.
It can overwinter, yeah.
Did I need to do something to it and, like, mulch it? I just left it.
I've always treated feverfew as an annual, but the same thing happened to me where it came back. I'm like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I guess I'll use it. So we'll see what happens this next year. But I planted my plugs in the high tunnel second week of March, and then I had early June blooms. And then I had a second flush after harvesting the first flush. But the second flush is a lot shorter than the first flush, at least for me it was. And the two varieties I did were Virgo and Snowball. I really liked those varieties.
Yeah, anything else that anyone wants to add for spring blooms? Pushing questions?
So I've done like low tunnels, and like if I didn't have fabric, plastic, I just use like frost cloth over, or sometimes even double frost cloth. Does anybody have any thoughts on, you know, using frost cloth or fabric, or benefits of one versus the other?
So I think the difference would be, to me, if it rains, right? Like, how do you keep that moisture off of it? And so that would be probably the difference there. I put, like I said, inside of my high tunnels, I've done a layer of frost cloth and then a layer of plastic. We ended up, after that storm, we were able to salvage our high tunnels. We had to buy some different parts for the one that when that storm came through, but then we put brand new plastic on it. It should last, you know, 4 years for plastic, but we replaced it after 2 years because of that storm, because it ripped up so much. So then I literally just took that plastic and I kept it all together as one. And it's just one huge piece of plastic over top of three low tunnels inside of my high tunnel. But I have the layer of frost cloth first. I don't need the plastic if it's not, like right now, I had plastic in there.
I think they say one layer of plastic is like one zone, right? And then the fabric is not quite.
The frost cloth is not quite as much. So I think the plastic can get the heat, maybe, or the light.
Yeah, and it has more of that greenhouse effect, right? But with the cloth air flow and stuff.
You never had problems with your having the plastic over top and getting too hot? Because before I had frost cloth, I only did plastic, and it only took one day of sun, and it was a greenhouse effect, but it got too hot, and it cooked my cool hardy plants.
I take it off. Like, it's on, off, on, off. And that was when I overwintered that ranunculus, when it was so cold. But I haven't tried overwintering too much in my unheated high tunnels again.
So inside my unheated high tunnel, I only use fabric. I don't use an extra layer of plastic because I'm worried about frying my plants. Mm-hmm. But outside, I'll use plastic.
Have you put plastic on peonies? Just like on the ground and that's all?
Not on the ground because I'm afraid like that might smother them or that might.
So should I take mine off, you think?
Well,
right now.
Yeah.
I know, right? You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I probably would, but I don't know. Maybe some other people might say something different. But I've put like low tunnels over my peonies so that I get them earlier, but I haven't put direct plastic on the ground over
them. Okay, great.
Yet. So for the podcast, your question was, I have plastic laying straight on top of it. Should I take it off? And we're all like, maybe. But I don't know. Yeah.
Take it off.
She's going to text her husband right now. Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for this. Is really just was meant to be a who's tried this trial and error, speak up, learning. And, you know, maybe there were only a few that have trialed, but hopefully those of you that didn't have anything to contribute yet, hopefully you won't have all these failures like we did. And so we pretty much told you what we have tried and failed, but we're going to keep just evolving and keep doing it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Excellent. Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at sunnymarymeadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.